Thank you, Ron. It's good to have those of you with us tonight that can make it. And, Lord, we need to pray for those that could make it. But nevertheless, we'll continue on, and maybe we can get it to where we can get it on the Bible. I mean, the Carolina Bible Group, and pick it up off the line that way. Certainly glad to be here, and we started a new study last week, and we picked up with the word walk. And as I said, I believe it was 212 times used in Scripture, but we're certainly not going to go through every one of them, but we're kind of looking at the ones that are kind of lumped together. Basically, in the Old Testament, there's two words, in the Hebrew, in number 1980, it is halak in the Hebrew, and it's to walk in a great variety of ways, and it can be both literally or figuratively. And it can be a plus or a negative in the walk, because, you know, you could walk away, walk to, walk away, walk for, walk from, you know, it's many things that can be had. But when we went back to the Genesis and we looked at it and we realized that, Abraham was told to walk. He was the first one that was told to walk the land. And so he continually walked the land. And Isaac did too, because the Bible recalls those things. And that's one reason why we picked it up this far back. But tonight's study is study number 2. And this is August 27th, 2014. And we're going to go to Genesis 24. Genesis 24. The word walk is used one time in Genesis 24, but it's right in the middle of the chapter. And, of course, the chapter deals with the marriage of Isaac. You know, and God was made a promise, and we went over some of these things last week about the dust of the earth, the number as the dust of the earth, or the stars of the sky. And so there was a little difference in that. We talked about that a little bit. And some of these things. But Abraham, as he got older, and as Isaac grew up, I guess Abraham's walk may have gotten a little bit slower. And of course, Sarah died. That created a little problem too, which it always does in families. When you got a matriarch or a patriarch that dies, it causes a little conflict. But before or during, I guess maybe during this time, Abraham sent his servant, Eliezer, his main servant, out to go get him a wife for his son Isaac. He didn't want to put Isaac in any jeopardy that, you know, that might befall him going there. They, you know, we talked about how he went and offered him up on Mount Moriah. There, and he raised his knife, and God says, stop. Now I know. But this was the situation of Abraham and Isaac both, I think, being tested. And also that God could find out a few things about the situation between him and the Son of God coming to earth as man. Because that was a going to be a brand new commodity too. And so as it went on and Isaac grew, he got a complex about Isaac taking a wife that had Canaanite blood in her. And that was something that Abraham for sure didn't want. And, he wanted to keep that bloodline kind of like Noah's was and his family. It was pretty straight, you know. So he made Eliezer take an oath. And Eliezer was the head of Abraham's household. And so if Abraham had not had any offspring, then Eliezer and his eldest would have inherited the things that Abraham had. And so I think this was one reason, if you don't mind me doing a little subjective thinking on my own, I think that was part of the reason why that Abram made Eliezer swear on oath before he left to go back to his folks, to go back to Haran, and to go to some of his brethren and pick a wife for his son. So that way he would know that there was not any Canaanite blood there, because it seems like the Canaanite and the Nephilim, you know, were in cahoots on trying to do away the things that God had set in motion. Let's put it that way, it set in motion. And so, but there is one place there, over in the middle of the chapter, that he talks about Abram's walk, or Abraham's walk. And he said that he walked habitually or continually. And we'll get there in a minute, but until we do, think about that a little bit. And I want you to, we'll start with verse 10 in the 24th chapter of Genesis. And when he talks about the servant here, or since he's the servant, we're talking about Eliezer. He said, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. Well, God didn't tell Eliezer to walk the land or to walk back to where Abraham came from. So he didn't have to walk. So he took a caravan and he rode a camel. And also, if you go back to verse 7, I know we started at 10, but Abraham was talking to Eliezer about his son, and he said, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. And he says this, we shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So before this oath was completed and made, Abraham said to Eliezer, look, he says, we shall send his angels.
Or he shall send his angels.
Yeah, okay. He, is that he?
Yeah.
Boy, it looks like we here. Yeah. He shall send.
Probably use that.
Italics.
That, yeah. Italics text. Yeah.
Okay. He shall send his angels before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my sons from thence. So here is a pretty much of a guarantee, if you will, that this is the way this thing's going to work out. And the servant put his hands under the thighs of Abraham, his master, and he swore concerning this matter, because he could have went off and said, look, I couldn't have found anybody. I didn't find anybody. But now you can't do that. If there's one going along, whether he can be seen or not be seen, he's got to be on the up and up with it. Okay? So it said, the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master, this is verse 10, were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia and to the city of Nahor. And that's, see, he said he arose. He mounted up on the camels and he rode there. So he didn't have to walk. It was given unto Abraham to walk the land, and also to, for Isaac to do walking. And even though they had the riches in order to do other ways and other things, this was God's way of keeping Abraham down to earth and keeping him, I think, with his eyes forward or looking upward to see these things and think these things out. And he says in verse 11, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. So I guess it was the women's job to draw water from the well. It said a well of water, but if you look in the notes, I think it talks about in places a spring. The well as being a spring. Maybe somewhat different from what we know as a spring, but nevertheless, there was some work involved in getting this water. In verse 12, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master, Abraham. So he stopped. When he got to the well, he stopped and he prayed. And he said, send me good speed or answer my master's prayer quickly. He wanted to be sure he was in the right place, doing the right thing, and he needed somewhat of a quick answer, if you will. And so he said, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. He was already at the well. He had done made the journey to that point. He just wasn't really sure that he was in the plan of God at the right place. He didn't want to be at the wrong place. Okay. And then he said in 13, and this is he says, behold, and here's an appendix 6 deal, and it's asterismos. And it means employing some word which directs special attention to some particular point or surface. And so I think, again, he's back to saying, behold, I stand here by the well. Is this where I'm supposed to be?
Yeah.
Okay. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. And the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. So here, in my view, where he says, and show kindness to my master Abraham. I think here, all this is he's asking for a sign. Now, you know, we're a little bit early here for the nation of Israel. But nevertheless, Israel always seek for a sign from God. So when God started dealing with Abraham, there was some something within that covenant or these agreements that were made between the two parties that, yes, I'll be with you and I'll show you how it goes. And so he's asking again, you know, give me the sign. Give me, if I'm at the right place,
let me know.
Tell me I'm okay. You know. So he's there where they come to draw water. And he said, and let it come to pass that the damsels to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher or water pot, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. So he says, let it come to pass, or may it happen. About the young lady that's going to come out with the water pot or the pitcher, if you will. You know, it's a pitcher here, but if you look in John 4, in the Gospel of John, where it talks about water pot, that's used interchangeably. The two things there equals the one. So he was looking for her to say, I'm going to give the camels water also. So that's the way he's going to know that you have shown kindness unto Abraham and that I'm doing the right thing. And I'll tell you the reason why. We'll just kind of tell you the rest of the story in a hurry. Because the young lady is going to come do this, is going to get what they call an earring, but it may be some type of face ring or face pierce or a nose pierce, and two bracelets. And they're going to be of great value, of large substance. And if she accepts these things, it's going to be like that. If she accepts them, it's going to be like a man kneeling down before a girl and says, honey, will you marry me? Because if she accepts them, she has automatically become betrothed at that time. Now think about this. We're going to read it. We're going to go ahead and read it, but you know, I've refreshed my mind on it again, so it's hard to wait till you get down to it. But this is what he's saying. And he's so concerned because he wants to do all the right things. And if he does all the right things, then he'll be okay because he's took an oath to Abraham that he's going to do this. He wants to do it the right way. Verse 15. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, there again is that word behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now this is the granddaughter of Abraham's brother. So there's already an extra generation been added to this thing here because Sarah had Isaac in her old age. And so in order to get those two about the same age, you have to realize that they had to go through one more generation over here with Nahor in order to get them about the same age. So you see how God works that. Okay? And also, and it said, and it came to pass before he had done speaking. His prayer hadn't got out of his mouth.
That's the amazing part.
Until she showed up. And here she was. Okay. You know what Rebecca's name is in Hebrew? What it means? And it got him in trouble. It got her and Isaac in trouble with the king, you know. Because he told the king, when he seen them playing around with each other, he said that he had done told the king, that was my sister. And the king says, nah, wait a minute. You don't play with your sister that way. You know, in so many words. And, Rebecca means captivating. This young lady was captivating. She must have been a looker. But guess what? She came to the well unveiled. And so, we'll read about it. Let's just read 16. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher or water pot and came up. Okay, this virgin there is number 1330 in the Hebrew, and it means Beth Ulah, and it means a maid, but an unveiled maid. And she came there to get water. She didn't come there looking for a mate or a man. She was there to get water. So she was unveiled. So Eliezer looked upon her face and he looked upon her beauty. And she was captivating. Let's just read 17, because 17 through 20 is the fulfillment of the sign that Eliezer wanted. You know, in 13, I think he was asking for a sign. The verses 17 through 20 gives the answer to that sign, or the fulfillment of that sign. Said the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hands and gave him drink. I guess she helped the pitcher while, you know, he drank the water. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." Ooh. I guess he was in the right place at the right time, okay? It says that she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water and drew for all of his camels. And look at what 21 says. And the man, Eliezer, wondered at her, held his peace. He held his peace. He eagerly watched her that he could get to know everything that he could know about her. Because he was fixing to do something on behalf of Abraham and Isaac that was going to be something that was the bond that was not to be broken. And the man wondered at her, held his peace, he, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He was eagerly watching her to know, and to know her, and to know what he could know about her as she feverishly went about doing this work. Now, whether she knew at that point that she was doing it, or she was just doing it because she was led of God, not knowing that she was led of God or not, I don't know. I can't tell you that. But she was doing everything that he had asked the Lord for. Now these other men that were with him, with these other camels, if one of them was God's man, it could have happened that way. I don't know.
If he was capable of hearing the requirement, the angel, which he was, and he was capable of making her say what needed to be said, which I also think he was, then I'm sure he probably had a
hand in it.
I'd say he had a hand in it.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm speculating too, but yeah. I don't think this is by, unless God just knew that she was going to say that and made that the requirement.
Well, he could have, but, you know.
One or two ways.
Well, why would you need to, why would they feel like that he needed to send somebody before or with them, an angel with or before them, you know, in order to see this thing through? Well, it could have been for him to watch Eliezer so Eliezer wouldn't go off on his own because, you see, he stood to inherit everything that Abraham had.
Yeah.
And in that sense, to run off with it.
Trustworthy servant here.
Yeah, but let's look at 22. Well, I think he was very trustworthy.
Yeah.
But, you know, when temptation comes, man's man. 22. And it came to pass, we see a lot of this, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel's weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. So I don't know if both of the bracelets weighed 10 shekels together or if they weighed 10 shekels each. But if you go into weights and you look up weights, you find that shekels can mean different things in different places. And so it's kind of hard to pin down what a shekel's worth at any one given place and time, hardly. But the earring, or as it talks about here, it's gold. It says golden, the Hebrew of gold, talking about appendage 17. It talks about an earring. It says probably a nose or face ring. And see verse 47. So as we go on through it. But this again goes back to the situation of giving someone a golden band or something for a token of affection, that they will do what they say they're going to do. If you've never thought about it, it makes pretty good sense, you know, to do that. Okay. And did I get it? And she said unto him, no, I missed one.
22.
And it said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, and this is another thing that he wanted to hear. I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And if you look in the note there, Nahor says, See appendix 29, it said Rebekah, his granddaughter, that old enough to marry Isaac because Sarah was well stricken in years when Isaac was born in Genesis 18:11. So that makes great sense that there's an extra generation in there for him to pick and choose from that gives them their datings of being about the same age.
Almost like God knew what he was doing.
Absolutely. And she said, moreover unto him, we have both straw and animal food, provender, enough room to lodge in. So she went on to say, yeah, you know, we've got a place for you to stay and we can feed your animals. We have food for the camels. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brother. Just so happened it worked out that way.
Yeah.
Gee. Okay, 28. The damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, and when he saw the earring, or, you know, whatever it was that he had given Rebekah, and the bracelets upon his sister's hand, and when he had heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, say, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. So Laban pretty much knew immediately what all this was leading up to, because, you know, here's somebody that had received these golden bands, and whether she knew what she was doing or not. And he said, Laban said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. So,
which was the custom.
The custom of the day. Now, and there was set meat before him to eat, and he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And Laban said, speak on. So he says, I'm gonna tell you what I've come here for. That was 33. The business of the servant's master. So he says, you know, I'm here to speak on behalf of Abraham. And he said, I'm Abraham's servant. 34. 35. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. You got up there, there's a note on appendix 6 where it emphasizes all the items which went to make up Abraham's wealth. He has blessed my master greatly, and he's become great. He hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. So when he's speaking here and he's talking to Laban and he's talking to the household here of Nahor, certainly Nahor would know Abraham, and he would know of Sarah because they were half brother or half sister, whichever way it was. And so he knows the kin, but he made it plain here that Sarah had a son to Abraham when she was old, and he had to do that in order to reconcile the fact of wanting this young lady to go with him, and she wasn't going to go to be with an old man. She was going to go be with somebody her own age, basically. He said, "And my master, I don't think so. Let's see. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old." See, he had to tell that.
Yeah.
In order for the story to be complete, so they wouldn't think that he wanted this young damsel to be with an old man here, you know. And he said, "My master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go into my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure, the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk," here it is, "the Lord before whom I walk." I don't think Abraham ever got upon a camel. I think he walked wherever he went. He was told to do that. And it got to be a habit with him. I think it was habitual. Because if you look at 40 there, it says, the word is hithpel. It means I walk habitually.
And that would tend to make sense then.
And he said unto me, "The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house." Pretty much explains it, doesn't it? "Then shall thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto thee well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way, which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And here the virgin is number 5959, and it means a veiled one. But she's not veiled at that point, because she wasn't looking for a husband. She hadn't received anything at the well. She hadn't got any rings or any bracelet or anything to seal the deal. So she didn't need the veil. But before it's over with, she's going to be veiled. So they used the other word for the virgin there, like she was veiled, or will be veiled, in that sense. And he said, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. 44. And she said to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for the camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hand. So it was one earring or one ring. Now, I don't know if he did it in her nose or what he done, but it was just one. Usually, you know, if you do the ears, if it was really an earring, it would be generally be two. But in their generation and in their time, it was one, an earring, the earring. And he said in 48, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me into the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban, Deban, and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeded from the Lord, and we cannot speak unto the bad or good. So they wasn't going to make a judgment here. But they said, you know, they did make a judgment that it did come from the Lord, and they wasn't going to say it was bad or good. They were going to take it face value. He said, behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go and let her be thy master's son's wife as the Lord had spoken. And as it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard the words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah, and he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. So here again is the dowry. You know, that's kind of where we get that. Okay? And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning. And he said, send me away unto my master. Well, here comes a little catch. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10, and after that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not. Seeing the Lord has prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. He said, why 10 days? Let me go. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, will thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands, of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Gee, what a statement. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and he went his way. So they didn't wait 10 days. They wanted him to, but he says, I need to be on the road. I need to be going. They got on the journey. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. He was in the south country because his mother had died, and she was buried in the south country. And he said, and Isaac went out to meditate, and that meditate there, there's a thing that goes with it up there. Well, let's just read this and we'll go back to that. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. So he knew his dad had made this arrangement, but he didn't know how long it was going to be before the camels would come. But he went to meditate. He says it refers back to the historical context of 23:19, the death and burial of Sarah, his mother, which followed this digression, of which Isaac as yet knew nothing. In 24:1-6-7 shows that Isaac went out not to meditate or to pray, the Authorized Virgin Margin, or take a walk, as in the Syriac, or muster the flock. But he went out there to mourn. This is the meaning of the Hebrew suach in Psalms 44:25 and Lamentations 3:29. So he went out there to mourn his mother.
And evidently that's why Sarah's tent was available.
Yeah. So you begin to see the picture.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's accepted the gifts. The mother's accepted the dowry. The brother's accepted the dowry. And so now the bride-to-be is on the way. And here they are. They've got within sight. Not close range, but they've got within sight. You can see a camel probably coming a long way. Okay. He had dwelt in the south country, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Didn't say the camel stopped.
She bailed.
She bailed off. Okay. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And Eliezer had said, this is my master. Therefore, she took a veil. She took a veil. She took a veil and covered herself. She saw her husband coming. Her husband had never seen her. She had never seen him. You know, when you go to a wedding and you see the bride come walking down the aisle, many times they'll have the veil over their face. And as the ceremonies progress, then she lifts the veil up and the man gets a look at what he's got.
That's where we get a lot of our customs.
So you see, this is, again, that part of that same custom of the wedding situation. Okay. She took the veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. You see, God was in all this. So whenever they came together, it was God's will. And it was that it meant to be. Man didn't have to get involved into that in this particular situation. And she became his wife, and he loves her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So you see, it took a good woman to replace another good woman in the man's heart. And he never forgot it. But when we talk about walking, you know, and he says, Abraham says, I walk continually, I walk habitually before God. And certainly Isaac did too. But when you get down to Jacob, when you get down to Isaac's son, whom God chose, the younger one, which became Israel, if you will, you know, pretty much the walking was done at that time. There's one other place over there when Israel goes to bless Joseph and his sons. And he talks there about walking before God. And Isaac walked before God, which gives you another view. Not only did one of them do it, but both of them did it. That as the Father did it, so doeth the Son. That sound like anything you've heard in the book of John lately? Mm-hmm. As the Father does, so does the Son.
Yeah. Another picture.
Gee. You know, how much clearer can it get than those kind of things? And it kind of blows me away again to go back over these things and to realize and to see it. When I went over it before, these things about the wedding and or how we get our custom ceremony from these type things is just so clear now. When you go back and you look at it, I said, "Man, I gotta do this." And so, bear with my folly because I really felt it necessary that we go back and look at it again. And then, you know, Abraham had more kids. If you look at the next chapter, he married again. And he married a woman named Keturah. You know what Keturah means in the Hebrew? It means the perfumed one. The wonderful smell. The sweet smelling odor. And had kids by her after he was well up in age, because he lived to be 175, you know, and that just added also to his seed. That also added to Abraham's seedbed, if you will, because they had kids like Ishmael had kids, and so there, Abraham's seed spread far and wide, and it was as dust of the earth, yeah, and stars of the sky.
From that time, how many?
How they would reach out over, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 years. How far they would go.
Yeah.
Abraham's seed. So, time for me to shut up, so I hope you got something from it again. If nothing else, the understanding that Abraham said he walked continually, but when he sent Eliezer, he sent him on a camel. And, you know, and God provides, and certainly he does, and when he makes a promise to his man, and that's the reason I said that Abraham was at the point. He was one of the things it talks about, the walk, is to be at the point. And certainly Abraham was at the point of all this. It was to Abraham and to his seed and to establish these things just the way that God wished them to be.
Amen.
So thank you for being with us tonight. And, certainly hope you got something out of it. I never can go back to God's Word and read it without seeing things that, you know, why did I miss this before? Why did I not see this in this life? But this is like plowing the old ground, you know, you get new rocks in it.
Same thing in John, Mark. Every time you get through, you get something
else. Great thing to have, be able to do, and to know, and to realize that that's how God's Word is. It's just that way. Thank you.